we're gonna move on in spiritual warfare, and we're gonna talk about our identity in Christ. And we're gonna spend a bunch of time on that, a bunch of weeks talking about our identity in Christ. And you see on that sheet, it's not what you do that matters. So I'm gonna kind of give you a little story. One time we came home from work or travel, or I don't even remember where we were. The whole family was somewhere, so it wouldn't work. And Gage, our dog, had gotten into the garbage. And we came in, and the garbage was all over the living room. And Gage was just sitting there, innocent. Like, nothing had gone on. And, of course, we knew what had happened, because nobody else would be interested in our garbage. And there it was, scattered all over the living room. And there was our dog sitting there as if nothing had gone on. Let me ask this question. That's what he did. He got into our garbage and scattered it all over. But why? Why did Gage get into our garbage? Okay, yeah, maybe he thought there'd be food in there. There probably was some food in there. When a lion kills a zebra, why? When a pig rolls in the mud, why? Why does a pig roll in the mud? And why does a lion kill a zebra?
And they're being who they are.
They're being who they are. It's their nature. Mm-hmm. Dogs get in the garbage because they're dogs. That's why they get into the garbage. Now, the issue of the Christian life and the issue involved in spiritual warfare isn't so much what you do, but who you are. And God, in the gospel, isn't really interested in changing what you do. He's after a new you. He wants to change who you are. And everything God does is to change you, not to change what you do. And most religions focus on what you do. Christianity does not focus on what you do. It's as if, in a sense, God is saying to a pig that rolls in the mud, you are no longer a pig. I'm changing your nature, and I'm giving you a new nature. Now, stop rolling in the mud. That's not who you are. That's what God does in Christ. There's a lot of stuff involved in this, but at its most fundamental level, I can say God changes who we are by uniting us with Christ. We are in Christ. And Christ is in us. And that happens at conversion. It happens by faith. It happens through the cross. It happens through the resurrection. There's a lot of stuff involved in all of that, but that's what happens. And so what I want to do, we're going to take a little bit of time. We're not going to read all these scriptures. You see where it says, you in Christ? I'm not going to read all of those, but we are going to read a bunch of them. And so somebody turn to Romans. Who wants to read Romans for me? Just raise your hand if you want Romans. Like Hondi's got Romans. And somebody turn to 1 Corinthians, like maybe Matthew. And 2 Corinthians, maybe Kevin. And Galatians, maybe Rebecca. And we'll stop there. We're not going to go through all of those. But what I want to do is give you this idea. I want to give you a feel for what Scripture says about you. Because you're going to notice something that is the same in all of these verses. And if we had read all the verses that's on this list, you'd see the same thing. So, Romans. Who's got Romans? Hondi. So, Hondi, go to Romans 8:1 and then 12:5 and read those for us.
Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Romans 12:5.
Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
Okay. 1 Corinthians. Who's got that? Matthew. So you got a whole bunch to read. Chapter 1, verse 2.
To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours.
Verse 4.
I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus.
Verse 5.
That in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge.
Verse 9.
God is faithful, by whom you were called, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Verse 30.
And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Chapter 4, verse 10.
We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute.
Verse 15.
For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
Verse 17.
That is why I sent you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child, in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church.
Chapter 15, verses 18 and 19.
Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied.
2 Corinthians. So that's you, Kevin. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Just read verse 21.
And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us.
Chapter 2, 14.
But thanks be to God, who in Christ always lead us in triumphal processions, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere.
17.
For we are not like so many peddlers of God's words, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ.
Chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Galatians 1, 22.
And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ.
Chapter 2, verse 4.
Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out of freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery.
Chapter 3, 27 and 8.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Chapter 4, verse 7.
So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
Chapter, what's next? 5, 6.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
Okay. We're not going to read any more, but all those other verses from Ephesians all the way down to 1 Peter are going to have the same theme. Guys, this theme in Scripture hits you upside the head. Scripture is pervaded with this idea. And what is the idea?
We are in Christ.
We are in Christ. You are in Christ. That is something we have to get into our heads, because sometimes we forget it. We think we're not in Christ. We think we fight Satan on our own. We don't. You're in Christ. We think we have to fight sin without Christ, as if we could do it. We don't. You're in Christ. Now, this isn't what you do. This is who you are. The family has changed. What would it mean to you that we're in Christ? Okay. So you have access to his power. Mm-hmm. What else?
Chain from evil is broken, and we are free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're free from evil. Good. What else? Yeah, you belong to him. What else?
He touches every part of you.
Okay. He touches every part of you. What else? Any of them, meaning other Christians? Okay. Yeah, that makes you one with all the other Christians who are also in Christ. Okay, good. What else? In,
like in his glorious light.
In his glorious light, okay.
If I am in him, I'll be like him.
I'll be like him. Mm-hmm. What he has, we have. Where he goes, we go. Piece of paper is in this Bible. If I take this Bible and I put it in my car and I drive to Canada, the Bible is in Canada and the paper is also in Canada because the paper is in the Bible. Where Christ is, we are. He died, we died. He rose, we rose. He sits at the right hand of God, we sit with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We're in Christ. It's all his blessings are ours. We didn't read the Ephesians passages, but Ephesians 1 is nothing more than all the blessings that we have in Christ. We're chosen with him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We're predestined to be adopted as his sons. We have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood. We have an inheritance. And if you read Ephesians, it's in Christ, in him, in Christ, in him, with him, through him, in Christ, in him. Boom, 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 boom. That's all it is. All of those blessings are in Christ. You don't get any blessings without Christ. If you chase the blessings, you never get them. Because they don't come on their own. But when you get Christ, you get all of that stuff. You're rich. Because that's how God works. He puts us in Christ. And then we get everything that Christ has. Salvation is in Christ. Holiness is in Christ. Everything we have is in Christ. Glory is in Christ. Authority is in Christ. Everything, it's in Christ. There is no other way for the Christian. That's how it works. Let's look at number 4, Christ in you. We just got 3 scriptures. So Romans 8:10. I'm going to ask Shinran if you could read that one for us. Galatians 2:20. Maybe Sophia, you could read that one for us. And Colossians 1:27. Who would like to read that? Elizabeth, could you read that for us? So, Romans 8:10, go ahead.
But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Okay. Galatians 2:20.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Colossians.
To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, those scriptures say, now, they don't say you are in Christ, they say Christ is in you. So, what does that mean?
I think it means believe in Christ and have faith in God.
Okay. So we believe in Christ, we have faith in God. And if Christ is in us, then what would be true?
We have the righteousness of God.
Okay, good. We have the righteousness of God.
Becomes a part of us.
Okay, he's a part of you. Where you go, What would be true if Christ is in you?
Christ goes with you.
Christ goes. Where you are, He is. He's in you. He says He'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, put these two things together. Numbers 3 and 4 on the sheet you have there. You are in Christ. That's a biblical truth. Christ is in you. That also is a biblical truth. Put them together. And what would you conclude?
You are one.
That's right. That's union with Christ. We, as believers, have a union with Christ. And that union that we have with Christ is the foundation for our life. I've got some metaphors there. We're not going to look at those scriptures for time's sake. But there's body and head. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body. Now, consider a body and a head as a union. In fact, if you disunite the body and the head, we have problems. They're one. You can't really separate them. And we are one with Christ that's a picture. And so it has some of the disadvantages of metaphors, but it has the advantage of really giving you a picture of the oneness that we have with Christ. Paul in Ephesians 5, talking about marriage, when he is saying, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And he goes on and talks and says, this is a great mystery, but I am speaking about Christ in the church. He is saying Christ in the church is just like a husband and a wife. And marriage is the two become one flesh. There is a union that takes place. You have two people who become one. Two homes become one home. Two sets of bank accounts become one bank account. Two beds become one bed. In the West, two names become one name. That's actually a picture of the two becoming one. That's why we do that in the West, by the way. It's a picture of what marriage actually is. The two become one. Well, that's you in Christ. You're one with Him in the same way. Then there's the metaphor of the family. Matthew, you remember the story? They came and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. And He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of God, these are my mother and my brothers. He's saying, these people are my family, is what He's saying there. Romans 8 talks about adoption. We have been adopted as sons of God into the family. And that we are co-heirs with Christ. And so we're kind of like brothers, in a sense, with Christ as co-heirs. It's a picture, it's a metaphor to talk about our relationship with Christ. We're as much one with Him as family. Now, let's talk about where it says the bottom, your foundation. Let me ask you, how would this union with Christ be a foundation for... I've been telling you it is, but why? Why would this be a foundation for living the Christian life?
So your question is how affect how this union affect our life?
Yeah, how would it affect your life?
The union affect our life.
I'm sorry.
So I'm confused how the meaning of union affect our life, or actual the union how affect
your life. How does your union with Christ affect your life? Or how should it affect your life?
Sometimes I chase my body's desire, but eventually it can go further with that because I'm in Christ and Christ in me, so eventually, like rubber, I just come down to the position with Christ, and Christ, I naturally go into Christ's desire.
Okay.
So, Bible mentioned that we are new creature, but sometimes it's just a statement. Kind of physically, it didn't happen. Anything happened to my body? Any?
Yeah.
The new creature means the physically new things, but it's mental. It's a spiritual. So it kind of it's not tangible and not visible.
Yeah.
So sometimes confused, is it right or is it affect already in my life? That's true because some days I just follow my body's desire, but naturally, unintentionally, I just walk with Christ and just follow his desire.
Unintentionally, you walk with Christ and follow his Christ's desire. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Because even though I didn't change physically, but I already got changed.
Yeah. Okay. So, are you asking a question?
No.
I guess I can put this in a different question.
Okay.
We are not unit in Christ. What? Or a statement actually. If we were not unit in Christ as a foundation,
yeah.
If that's not a foundation, that means our foundation will be ourselves.
Yeah.
Or anything else.
Or something else.
Something else.
It will not be Christ.
Yeah. And that would lead to, you know, be condemned, perish, all
okay.
those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Why did you put foundation, the word foundation? Does that mean the foundation?
Do you know what a foundation is?
Yeah.
Okay. So a foundation is what you build everything else on. It's the base. And this union in Christ that we have is the foundation for a Christian life. When you look at Ephesians, in fact, look at those verses up there. Chapter 1, boom, 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 boom. Chapter 2, boom, 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 boom. And then it stops. And you know why? Because after chapter, really 3, chapter 3 is kind of a little digression that Paul gets into. But chapters 4, 5, and 6, he isn't talking about who you are anymore. He's talking about how are you supposed to live given chapters 1 and 2. And so he's building on, that's how Ephesians is structured. This is who you are, therefore, this is how you live. That's how Ephesians works. And so remove who you are, and how you live crumbles.
You keep that in mind. What I said is, like, because of this foundation,
yes,
because of our changing nature, what we are, that's why we no longer follow our body desire. Even we wish, even our kind of body attempting to follow my desire, but because of this foundation, we no longer live like before. That's why we would say we are new creation.
Yeah, you should have changed. I'm not saying you should be perfect. Christians still sin, but you should have changed. If you didn't change, I wonder if you changed. And so if you don't change your life, I wonder if you actually changed who you are.
Situation. So you mentioned that even our behavior is the same, then you say our nature hasn't changed yet, or you haven't changed it. But what I'm thinking is, once we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord, Christ already came to my mind, and we already tightly coupled. We cannot separate them.
We can't separate what?
The union.
Right.
So, eventually, the foundation affects your life and my life.
It does. It should. Anyone else? How is this truth, your union in Christ, a foundation?
I think it sets you on a direction. Like,
okay,
you build up in the foundation. You don't, usually the building doesn't wander this way or that. The building is there and it stays.
Okay. If you could change a lion into a zebra, would you change his behavior? You would. Because he would no longer be what he was. He is now something different. And because he is something different, the behavior changes with the nature. And that's how God works. He makes you a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. If you want to live the Christian life without Christ, without this union in Christ, you can't do it. It isn't possible to live the Christian life without a union in Christ, because you don't have Christ. If you want to live like Christ, you got to have Christ. And if you don't have Christ, and there's no union between you and Christ, how are you going to do that? You're going to do it on your own? That isn't going to work. And so, this is key. This is the way that God has provided for his people to live the life that God wants his people to live. Now, how does this affect spiritual warfare? Because ultimately, this is about spiritual warfare, this class. Of course, we've been talking about life as if life somehow is not a part of spiritual warfare, but it is.
We have victory.
Okay. We do have victory. So what would that mean, then, for spiritual warfare?
Evil try to attack, and it seems like we got attacked or injured, but eventually we are in Christ, so evil cannot take our mind, and we cannot. We eventually conquer the evil.
Okay, in the end, we do. I mean, evil can attack. Evil attacks Christians. Satan can play with your mind. But you are promised victory in the end, for sure. But how else would this affect spiritual warfare?
I think it's like a feeling of right now you have a strong foundation you can rely on, so you can stand firm by his side.
Okay,
and
good.
Conquer the evil with your faith, with a strong faith and a foundation.
Okay, good.
So, being united with Christ changes our identity.
Yes.
And Satan, his name means accuser, so he's always accusing us of being something other than who we are.
Yeah.
In our identity in Christ. So if we know who we are in Christ, then we can defend against his accusations.
Yes. Yeah, good. So I said Satan can play with your mind earlier, and you have victory in the end, but you can have victory now too. I'm not promising that every Christian has victory now, because I don't think every Christian necessarily always stands on this truth. But if you will stand on this truth, you can fight Satan. And you can have victory now over Satan, but you can't have victory now over Satan without this. If there's no union with Christ, you do not have victory over Satan. And if you won't stand on it, then I'm sorry, you're not going to have victory over Satan. But if you will stand on this, Satan isn't going to overcome you. He might make it hard on you. I'm not trying to say there's not going to be troubles, or there'll probably be more troubles. But you will have victory. Now this deals with things like fighting sin, because fighting sin is spiritual warfare. This deals with things like thoughts, depression, pride, arrogance, greed, internal things, our actions, but also our internal. It deals with that stuff too. Satan will bring those things. He'll bring anything he can to get you on one of those two ditches. Whatever works. That's how Satan operates. Satan operates on the whatever works principle. He doesn't care which way you go as long as you don't follow Christ. And so that's just how he operates. Any questions or comments? We're about out of time.
You mentioned that we should have Christ to have victory now. What I'm thinking is once we accept Jesus Christ our Lord, even our mind kind of shuttle because of body's nature. But once we commit to accept Jesus Christ, and even of the old nature move around us, but Jesus Christ already sit in me.
Yes.
So, Jesus will save us and protect us, protects me.
Yes, but we are to sit in that in Christ by faith. In other words, this is true. Our union with Christ is true. Okay, believe it. Rest in it. Use it. And most Christians completely ignore it.
Oh, so you emphasize by faith.
Yes. That's the only way you know this. You know it by faith, right? So, exercise that faith. Somebody close us in prayer.